Greet each of you in the name of Jesus again this morning. It's good to be in the house of God and worship together again. Enjoyed the Sunday school class very much, the lessons that we learned there, and I hope we can continue to be inspired through the Word of God. I think one of the things that we, at least I learn more and more in life, is that the life cannot be broken down into as much as we think it could. It can't be broken down into the physical and the spiritual. There's so much that intertwines the two together. And I think it was shown that, it's taught that in the Sunday school lesson about giving. Well, for a subject this morning, I want to think about the inner life qualities of a Christian. You can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I want to draw some lessons from this chapter. Verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Think about having Christ come forth in our life. We want to talk about the taking on the life of Christ, the qualities that He showed us, that He was an example to us in these things. And it says here that ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. First of all, being dead to the control and the influence of sin. We know that we have that in and of ourselves. We are dead to sin. Sin controls us, the influences of sin, but it needs to take place, the death to sin. And then our life is hid with Christ in God. So we see a cleansing and then a filling that goes through with this. Well, the main thought of the message is to be encouraged to grow in our Christ-like characteristics. We need to grow in these things. And again, it's not something that these qualities don't come into our heart to make up for things that aren't good, for things that are bad. In other words, these qualities don't outweigh, they don't tip the scales and cleanse our hearts, but that rather that we grow more and more like Christ because we have a cleansed heart. I want to emphasize that these things, well, Jesus talked about the house that was cleansed, the man had swept and garnished his house, and the devils came back and found the house empty and filled it. Well, it was because the house was not filled with good things that was then a vacuum there that needed to be filled. So our earthly house or our spiritual house should be full of good things, not a vacuum that takes in anything that comes along. There's another verse, maybe brings out some of these same things. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Again, the need of a cleansing and a filling. That's what needs to happen in our life. We need the new birth. Every one of us has been born in sin, and they have that tendency to go wrong. And we need to have the new birth and then pattern our life after Jesus Christ. And there will be a continuation of things that we need to, a continual or a progressive cleansing that needs to happen in our life. I think that verse would bring that out. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." It's an ongoing process, not that we be lax in that, but that we understand that there will be failures in our life, and there will be times when we have to go and clean up some of the wrong that was in there and take care of it. Well, I want to read the first 17 verses of chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Here again, as we read down over that, we can see that these verses talk about mortifying. There's things that need to be put off. Talks about putting off the old man, putting off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and so forth. So there is again, brings out here in these later verses about a need of cleansing. He gives a number of things here, things that we need to put on. And I want to mention right at the beginning that Jesus is the example that we follow. Every one of these, the list that goes there in 12 and 13 following, that Jesus is an example in all of these, the perfect example. If we want an example to turn to, his example is a good one, is the best one that we can turn to. So we're thinking about the inner life qualities that we learn from Jesus Christ, how he responds, how he responded here on earth, and how he continues to respond. The first one he mentions there in verse 12, says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. We want to think about mercy. Mercy is the thought of having pity. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. I think that gives us a good definition of what it is to be merciful. Thinking about the example of Jesus too, how he showed mercy. Many times when he had many needs of his own, had a lot of things pressing about him, he would see those others that had needs and he would have mercy on them. He would show compassion to them. Well, we need to do that as well. That's a quality of life that a Christian needs to display. And it works out from within our own hearts. It works out and it has a relationship to how we handle situations that come in life. Mercy in our life will show in our relationship with others. You know, we bring out, if we have mercy on each other, we have pity. We understand and share burdens. And if we understand that, we share the burden of each other, and we understand that there will be times when we need mercy showed to us as well. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, the next one is kindness. The Greek definition of that brought out gentleness and goodness. Also Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, kindness, goodwill felt to others would be another way of saying that. The kindness that springs from within our hearts because we understand what Jesus has done for us. Jesus talked about those of the world that show love and show compassion to those around them because they expect it and they have felt it back again. But kindness that he's talking about here, I think, is that goes out because we love and we have that love of God within us. It's not because we expect it back, but it's because we know and feel the love of God within our own heart. That's the kind of kindness that he's talking about here. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Just bringing out how the kindness of God has been showed to us. The goodness of God has been showed to us. Therefore, as we take on the image of Christ, it'll be part of our inner quality and will show forth in our life. It's not just a veneer that we put on, that we can just always smile and that we can always do right things. That is not the kind of kindness that we're talking about, but something that comes from within. It is a part of our spiritual life that actually affects the physical life. Okay, the third one that he's talking about is humbleness. There in verse 12, talk about mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. And we know that that is one of the things, the pride is the opposite of that, and that is one thing that is very distasteful to God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one he gives there in 17 is a proud look. That is something that God despises because it's a rebellion against him. And it is very contradictory to what we have received from him. Think about all that we need and all that our weaknesses and our problems that we have, and yet if we are standing out in pride against God, how that looks to him. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6:20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Many times Jesus would bring out the simple lessons in life. We had in the Sunday school lesson about the ravens and the lilies, and Jesus brought children to him to learn, teach lessons about humility and being willing to accept the help that is given to us. That's how we need to be in our Christian life, that we need to be willing to understand our needs and be willing to accept the help that comes. Thinking about the poor in spirit. If we're poor in spirit, then we'll have a humble opinion of ourselves. And we know that we are in a needy, our bodies are needy, our spiritual life is needy, and we have nothing to offer. We have nothing to offer God on our own, so we certainly don't have anything to lift ourselves up in pride about. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That is how God wants us to think about it. We are a needy person, and we have received the gift of salvation, and then we have no right to rise up in pride against God or anyone else because of what we have received ourselves. Also, 1 Peter 5, verse 5, thinking about humility, says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There he talks about submission. It says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Submitting ourselves one to another and having that quality of life that just it talks about being clothed here. One of the things that we desperately need is the clothing of humility. I don't know why it is, but our at least if you're like me, our inner thoughts and the pride of our heart is something that is very easy to come out and to grow. And we need to remember that is not Christ-like. We need to remember that it needs to be taken care of from the heart, in the heart. Not just cut down on the physical part of it, but it needs to be rooted out of our heart. Well, we know Jesus was a perfect example in humility. Philippians chapter 2 talks about that, how he humbled himself there and he came down to earth and gave his life. His life was a ministry of lowliness. He came to those that were in need, and to the humblest part of the country is where he came. Okay, number four, the fourth one here is meekness. Matthew 5, verse 5. A short verse there. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus pronouncing a blessing on those that are meek. And then in chapter 11, verse 28-30, says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We think about meekness, how Jesus was an example to that. Think about when he stood before his accusers there in Pilate's hall and Herod there, how he just simply took what was coming, what he knew that he did not deserve, yet just in meekness he took that. And many times we hear the saying that meekness is not weakness, and certainly it wasn't in his case. Well, I think we need to be easy to approach. Meekness would be very easy to approach. Thinking about that verse in James chapter 1. James chapter 3, actually, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That phrase there I was thinking about is easy to be entreated would be a good definition, I think, of meekness. We can easily accept the things that come from us, even if they're not things that we see or we can't understand the concern or whatever that is coming. We can still be easily entreated. The Corinthians had some difficulty with that, just like the rest of us do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7 says, Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? They were not willing to just in meekness accept the wrong and go on. There are scores in this life that will not be able to settle besides just in meekness accepting them and going on with life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He was beseeching them through the example of Jesus. Okay, number five, the fifth one that he mentions here in Colossians 3 is long-suffering. If you think about long-suffering, the forgiveness is one right after that. And we'll talk about forgiveness then, but we think about how Peter came to Jesus and he asked how often that he should forgive his brother. And I think Jesus was teaching forgiveness, but he was teaching long suffering as well. The thing that we need to remember is that we will need long suffering ourselves. We will need others to be long suffering to us. We will not be perfect. We will not always do things right, but we need to have long sufferingness towards others. And certainly we understand that Jesus is long-suffering with us as well, because we don't always respond to him like we should. I think that's something that's very important as we work together on the job or in church life, or no matter what the relationship is, that we have long-suffering for each other. Sometimes there's just things that work out a lot better if we just let things go, and not that we overlook sin. I'm not talking about that, but there are differences in personality and the way things are handled. Just let it ride. But then the sixth one there in verse 13 in Colossians 3 is forgiveness. It says forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Forbearing would also go along with long suffering. says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, bringing out the example of Jesus, how he forgave. And Jesus was put to the test of forgiveness harder than any one of us has ever experienced, I believe. You know, even while they were doing it, he forgave them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We think about forgiveness, how that is releasing the offender. If someone does something against you, you simply release that. Luke chapter 7, Jesus gave a parable to show what forgiveness was, or to teach a lesson there. Luke chapter 7. Verses 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. There he says that they forgave them both. The debt was just canceled. Can you imagine if you had a sum of money, whether it's big or little, and you had absolutely no way of paying it back, and the one you owed it to just cancels it out? Well, that's what forgiveness is. It's just simply releasing the debt. And we understand how that works on our hearts, as we have experienced that from God. And therefore, we ought to respond to others in that way. We can never grow in our Christian life by harboring ill feelings or grudges in our hearts. It's something that will bind us, something that will hold us down, and we cannot go on. I don't think forgiveness and trust are two different subjects, but we do forgive, and trust comes with time. But forgiveness comes as we simply release the offender and not hold him accountable anymore. Okay, the seventh one there in verse 14 says that above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is something that is necessary in every part of our life, I think, every aspect. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. There he says fervent charity, something that is alive. And fervent charity would give the thought that it's not something that is a veneer, but it's rather, again, what we're talking about, the inner quality of a Christian, something that comes from within that is spontaneous. It continues on. The supply keeps coming. Well, we know that we can try, we can look like we're having love for each other, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives a lot of good things that we can do in the name of charity. But if we don't actually have charity within our hearts, it is nothing. This talks about it here being the bond of perfectness in Colossians 3 here. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's not perfection with each one of us is not the bond that holds us together, but it's charity that is the bond of perfectness. Certainly there will be faults to overlook, and charity is willing to do that because it knows that it has already been done in our own life through Jesus and through others as well. Then he talks about the peace of God. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I think the peace of God is an inner quality, and maybe also it is a result of trusting in God, but it is a quality of a Christian as he turns his life, submits his life to the will of God. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. So it is a choice that we have to let the peace of God rule in our heart. Well, we know that when we let that peace of God rule in our heart, it's the peace that comes from God, so that we know that what he brings into our life, that we can still rest in that peace and satisfaction. I think it brings that peace with God, brings stability to our life, because we know we are resting in his peace, and then we can understand and accept the things that come in life. Okay, the ninth one there, in verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." I think openness to the word would be an inner quality. I think we need to guard against false teaching. We need to guard against the teachings that are not 100% right. But openness to the word is something we need to cultivate, something, a quality that we need to have. When we understand it, when we read it in the scripture, there needs to be an openness to that. We don't look at the scripture the same way we do when we pick up a man-written book. Simply need to open our life to the word of God. What it says, we grow in it. It says to do it richly. This openness to the word says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Something that we need to be full of God's word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The part of speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the word of Christ dwelling within us, being full of it. And we think about when a man is full of wine, it controls his life. And when a man is full of the word of God, that also controls his life. So we need to make sure that we're filled with the right thing. As we fill our life with the word of God, it helps us to be prepared for the tests and challenges of life. Well, the last one I have here is thankfulness. Brings it out several places here. In the last part of verse 15, talks about, "To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And then in verse 17 it says, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Thankfulness is something that should ring from every Christian's heart. I think we understand that more and more as life goes on, that what we have been cleansed from and what we have received and the blessings that God has given, even though we sometimes sit in the midst of hard things, yet God is still there. And that's the lasting thing. The most lasting thing that we can hold on to is the presence of God, because we want to live for him here and then dwell with him in eternity. When verse 17 says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." When we think about these inner qualities, I think we need to do them because of the experience and love in our heart to God, not just for a veneer to impress others. Let's make sure that we're not doing that, but rather come from within so that we can be his children. One of the things that is going to be a testimony to the world around us is that as they see the life of Christ living within, it's not necessarily how good or how much of a flare we can make of our Christian life, but it's that love we have one for another that comes from being born again and cleansed from sin. Let's kneel for prayer.